It's the afternoon cruise, and we are chatting with the legend Ron Carter in celebration of his 87th birthday. Ron Carter is well recognized as the most recorded bassist in jazz history, and in my personal opinion, one of the greatest bassists in jazz history. He's been a fixture in the jazz world since the late 1950s. Mr. Carter, like so many jazz fans, I've been listening to you my whole life, and it's a true honor to have the chance to speak to you, and happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you.
Now, Ron, one of the first times that you were recognized by a national audience, you were not only recognized for your own fantastic playing, but you were joined by a group of similarly aged, like-minded musicians, and y'all often got grouped together. I'm thinking of the other players in the Miles Davis Quintet, but also other folks from that same age group who were making waves. And not specifically for you, but for that group, what do you think that group of musicians' biggest contributions to the world of music was?
I'm probably not the best person to answer that question, as I'm part of the question. but I think a couple of things are important. I think one thing comes to mind is the longevity of that music we were trying to work out. As I understand it from my friends who are one-third my age, two-thirds my age, is that they're trying to figure out what we were doing. And I think one of the things we encourage the real books to do is make sure you got the right things before you put them out for sale.
Is there a particular chart that in the real book that you know I grew up with where you went, this is all wrong, this is not what we were thinking about at all?
I'd say there are so many, but there are a lot of choices I have. And to do that, I need to stack out all ones that were marked with a big red X. Don't look at this one. Not this one. There's several of those in the books. And I understood why they were not here. They were not hearing what we were playing. They understood it was different. And as best they could match what they were hearing with what was different in terms of those two different events, they came up with their estimated a guess as to what it was. It was right sometimes. Sometimes it wasn't correct at all. But I think what it did, Mr. McPherson, was to let kids know that there's something going on here, and as best as we can, the real book people, we'll outline for you what we think it is, and then you're on your own.
I'm chatting with Mr. Carter, legendary bass player, Mr. Ron Carter, and we're getting ready to celebrate his birthday. And you have done a lot more in your career than just your work on stage and in the studio, which is considerable, as I've mentioned, but you aren't really leaving people on their own as the next generation is trying to learn your music. I'm thinking particularly of your home on the web, roncarterjazz.com, which is this spot that is, it's not just one of those like, you know, here's how to book me for a gig type of thing. You have resources for folks to really get inside your discography, which is a really important thing for somebody like you, where you want to hear your leader recordings, but of course we want to hear what you've done when you've supported other people. On top of that, you have some great conversations with, I believe it's Brady Watt, the guy who I see all the time on Instagram, but you guys talking about some really deep stuff about your time in New York. What made you want to create such a robust online home for you?
Well, you know, I'm just now stumbling onto what the social media term really means. And as I've begun to travel again after that, what I call long vacation, the pandemic situation, people have come up to it and said, I helped my site. I helped them get through this really down period, and not just their emotional life that they couldn't work, but in their music life, because there was something going on while they couldn't do it because of the limitations on moving around. Someone was keeping them abreast as the best they could to music that was going on in their sphere, around them, in their neighborhood, that they had no access to. And I think because the pandemic limited their physical ability to these sites, my site seemed to offer them as close as I can, a hands-on, here we are, there we go again, folks, situation that they couldn't get as they were not traveling. Having said that, I'm new to the game, as my age group indicates. And what I decided to do once I understood what was going on was make the format interesting, worthwhile knowing about, fun, but not easy. I thought that since they had some spare time, they would have the time just to go past the bright lights and find out why that last bulb is not as dim as the other ones are. Why is that happening? And that kind of provided a sense of how they could figure out why that light wasn't working and put their own devices to making that chord sound better, or why does that chord work that certain way, or what do you do when you're not playing? But those kind of details, they seem to encourage more kids, more non-able to travel people, to get involved in social media on their own, as well as seeing that this my attempts has helped them get through a pretty difficult time of their lives.
I appreciate it. It's a resource, and it's one of those things where so many times you go to a website and it's just as pointing people to just the social media sites. I really appreciate that you put something deeper into that work. Ron Carter, one of the last things we had in new rotation from you on Jazz 88 was actually from the film Finding the Right Notes, where you and John Batiste were working through Sweet Lorraine at a pretty impromptu session. And towards the end of the performance, and we kept this part in on the, we were playing on the radio, you were sort of talking to Mr. Batiste about what you were doing and how you would be climbing down at the end. In that whole film, and that recording in particular, your level of enthusiasm, curiosity, and immense respect for every musical moment came through in a way that it is really rare to see in any human being, but especially somebody who could really rightfully kind of be Mr. Hollywood. Look at the stuff I've done, you know, treat me with the respect that I deserve. Whereas I see you going about going, hey, I'm going to treat this music with the respect it deserves. That recording was really inspiring to me, but that whole film was. Is that work ethic something that you developed? Or is that work ethic something that you brought the first day you started playing music? You said, this is just how Ron Carter is going to do whatever Ron Carter does.
Well, I think back at that stage of 12 or 13, I'm not quite sure what Ron Carter does.
Right.
Or what he do. But my parents were working people. I'm from a family of eight kids, a brother and six sisters, during very difficult social times in American history, as you books will tell you at your age group. And they were determined to instill some values in us. First of all, we had eight kids who were responsible for the household, responsible for our chores, responsible to each other's of our family responding to our part of the bargain. And my parents made sure we upheld our side, and we were using them as examples of doing their share. And I think the more I started playing music and got to get involved in these various emotional and social environments, I realized that these people I'm playing with, strangers, how do I get to your company, you know, or the dear friends and Miles Davis band and the trio, you know, I'm in a family now. How can I make them feel that they belong here? I may be in charge, but they belong here.
Yeah.
And I'm still working on that. I make some errors, and sometimes I get out on the couch, even though I'm wearing a t-shirt, you know, and I let them know that the band leader loves you, but they just drop after we finish from the word love, there's something behind that word. Let's figure out what that is, and let's get this party going again. And I think my honesty with them and my willingness and my determination to treat them as my friend and then a player secondly has carried me through some difficult times with those people.
It certainly has carried you through what I can only imagine would be some difficult times, and also some really well-documented times. And a little bit about your philosophy, Mr. Carter, strikes me as something that might be part and parcel of why you are the most recorded bassist in jazz history. It's a beautiful thing that you have that honorific. And one thing that stands out to me is that it's to say there's a reason your phone rings, right? And this got talked about a little bit in the film as well. But a lot of the people who are calling you probably could call six or seven other world-class bass players. But your phone has rung for a long time. And I've got to imagine that some of it is also the vibe you bring when you're in the studio and what you did before you stepped in the studio. And I understand working with a family. My question for you is, what about those one-day-long families? What about where it's one day where you're with that particular group of musicians, maybe you're the leader, maybe you're just a side person, but you don't have that chemistry of going, we'll figure it out the next set. You know, you're doing this work for one day. How do you stay responsible and be a part of a family that's only working for one day?
I think one of the reasons I'm doing this project and I'm trying to read into those minds of producers and band leaders who call me for this as their special guest for this project, I think they've done enough research on my personality, my experiences, my previous work with other people who they may know in the industry, as to how did this guy respond? How did he help you through your project? Was he in the way? Was he doing this thing, whatever it is? Was he willing to sit down and take your instruction? Did he understand that this project needs a little more than you can give? Would he volunteer to say that? Would he fix the base parts without making a big deal out of it? Did he let you know that he did it after the date and said, if you want to call me again, just do this for me next time and I'll get here 20 minutes early. If I stay, I'll be coming in 20 minutes later because I've done my homework on your part that you gave me before. I think they understood the intent I have to making their project successful, and that when I leave there, they will want to call me back because I presented me in such a fashion that I almost command them ring my phone again.
Well, that is great advice from one of the world's greatest recording bass players, performing bass players. And it's really clear. I would believe you if you were just telling me that based on your discography. But having watched that, finding the right notes, I believe it because I saw you do that at all sorts of different sessions throughout that. Another thing I took away, Ron Carter, from watching that film was how much you have a direction looking forward, looking at what's coming next. And as I ask you, as we get ready for your 87th birthday, what's in the future for Ron Carter? What are you looking forward to?
One of the sub questions is, do I know where jazz is going? And I answer that with a smile saying, I don't know, but give me the address and I'll meet you at the doorway. Right now I have several things on the stove that I'm not able to get past my inner ear idea, but I think there'll be nice projects if they can get them to come to fruition.
And any personal plans for your birthday, Mr. Carter?
I expect some phone calls to people who I haven't seen who will surprise me to say, you're no longer one quarter note to 87. You're on the measure right now. And I expect me to have a wisecrack. So I have to figure out some nice to say to a lot of people who I've missed calling to, who have missed talking to me for a long time. And to hear that greeting from them and know that they have me not too far from their phone book and are feeling comfortable to call me. I'm looking forward to all those people, six, who will let me know that happy birthday to you, my friend.
Well, Ron Carter, any career with the level of quality, longevity, and frankly, just passion that your career resembles, I know involves a lot of personal sacrifice, involves a lot of hard work. And speaking to you, human to human, I want to say thank you for the sacrifices I imagine that you and some of the people around you had to make personally for the impact that you made globally as a musician. I'm a fellow bass player, and I grew up listening to you. I still listen to you all the time, and I'm so appreciative of what you put on tape and on stage for the world to learn from. And also online, I want to say RonCarterJazz.com as well. The ways that you've made it possible for us to all move further and learn from what you've learned means the world to us. And sincerely, happy birthday to you, Mr. Carter.
Da, 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 da.